Reading John chapter 10 from verse 10 to verse 18. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I'd like us to focus this morning on verse 16. And other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. It's rather wonderful, isn't it, to know that this book, which is a record of God's revelation to man, includes in it the life of the Lord Jesus, his sayings, and the great promises that are in his word. And this is one of those great promises, isn't it? I wonder if any of you have thought, I wish I'd lived at the time of the Lord Jesus. I would have been much easier to have believed then, when I saw those miracles. I could hear his voice. I could see his face. But the Lord Jesus made provision for the likes of you and me, who were not alive when the Lord Jesus was on earth. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. The Lord Jesus was looking ahead to the future generations, and he knew that out of those future generations, not just from Israel, where he was and where he was preaching and speaking, but all over the world, there would be people like you and me who has heard his voice. I'd like us just to focus on that for a moment, because there are many voices in the world, aren't there? Indeed, we started off our reading with one such voice, or certainly one such person, the thief. Verse 10. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then we hear a little bit more about that thief. He's next described in verse 12 as an hireling. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep. We can follow, we will be following voices in the world, won't we? Some of you will be at school and There'll be voices encouraging you to go in one direction or another. There'll be voices encouraging you to take this direction in life or that direction in life. But when it really comes to it, how are those who are leading us, those voices, will they be heard when we are in a time of crisis? Because the thief, we read, he actually doesn't have a good desire for us. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's the devil. The devil seeks to destroy us. At the gate of death, the devil will be cackling with laughter because he's succeeded in getting to us to a point where when we die, we will die without the security of the Lord Jesus. That's what he wants. And he has his hirelings, verse 12, who pretend to care for the sheep. They pretend to care for you and me. And they'll offer you comfort. They'll offer you an exciting life, perhaps. And perhaps going to parties, having a good group of friends, going on holiday with them. It all seems very comfortable, doesn't it? And also the hirelings that will encourage you into your career choice and to give yourself to your career, whatever it be. Nothing else matters. Just focus on this one thing. And there might be great incentives, great prizes to be won, great fame to be had. There's one problem, though, with that hireling. See, the hireling belongs to the thief. Verse 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. What is that wolf? I'm thinking that wolf just sounds like death, doesn't it? Destruction. That moment of death. All those voices that were leading us to this path or that path in this world, suddenly they flee at the gate of death because death has no place for worldly ambition, does it? It's all ended by then. People who are doing brilliantly in life can suddenly have their lives cut off and all their ambition, all the success that they've achieved, suddenly it disappears, doesn't it? It runs away like the hireling. And friends, our friends will run away too. You get very ill, an incurable disease, and where are your friends then? They desert you because they don't want a friend who's very ill and reminds me of my mortality, do they? They want their friendship is dependent on having fun and going out, going to parties and going on nice holidays together. That's all they want. Friends, we need to be very careful about what voices we listen to in this world. And the voice that we need to listen to comes from just one person. In verse 14, there's one person who cares for the sheep, who cares for this world. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And do you notice there that at the gate of death, there is a friend who wants you to go from there to having everlasting life, not who deserts you at the gate of death because he's got nothing to offer you. Your money will perish on that day, won't it? It's no good. You can't take it with you. You can't take your Rolls Royce with you. You can't take your friends with you. That's the awful thing about death. It's lonely. You're on your own. I don't know if you read about that those awful fires that burns in Greece over the summer. And there was one such fire, but somehow a group of people got trapped. And they were trying to get to the sea, and they just were short of the sea. And what they did is they all linked arms the moment of death, the moment those fires came upon them. But even though they were linking arms in death, there was a terrible loneliness because each was going to die individually. And even our best friends are no comfort in that cold, dark hour of death. But here we have the Lord Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd." Well, if I had to ask you what your favorite psalm was, perhaps like me, you might say Psalm 23. And you'll remember how Psalm 23 begins. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that word "Lord" is in capital letters in the King James Bible because it signifies that the Hebrew word is Jehovah. The Lord, God, is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. And in Ezekiel 34, verse 31, we have this confirmed. "Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them." I'm sorry, it's verse 30 I'm reading. Verse 31. "And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God." The good shepherd of the sheep is God. The Lord Jesus Christ, though fully man, is also Jehovah, fully God, able to take us to the other side of death and to give us what no man can give us, eternal life. How does he do that? Well, we have it in these verses. And this is another extraordinary thing. Verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Here is a man who could say, "I lay down my life that I might take it again." Friends, this is not something open to you and me. We cannot choose when to die. I don't know how long I'm going to live, and I certainly don't know how long you're going to live. It might be 1 hour. It might be 100 years. I don't know. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ could say, "I have power to lay down my life." He chose the time when he laid down his life. When the Jews picked up stones to stone him, he just simply walked through them because it wasn't his time. It wasn't his time to die. This is the mystery. There came a time when it was time for the Lord Jesus to die. And it's also interesting that men, led by Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him and betrayed the Lord Jesus into the hands of the Pharisees and the chief priests, they thought they'd got their moment of victory. They thought, finally, this man is under our power and we'll put him to death and put away this imposter from Israel. But they hadn't heard what the Lord Jesus had said. "No man taketh it from me." No man could take his life from him. "But I lay it down of myself." And so it's no surprise that when the Lord Jesus went to the cross, he fulfilled Scripture. And if you turn just briefly to Psalm 22, you can see how remarkably he fulfilled that psalm. Because it was his time. It was the time of his choosing. When he was going to lay down his life for his people. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's verse 1. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then we have verse 8. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. Do you remember that's exactly what the Jews cried out, called out to him? And then, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. A description of the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross. Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And that's exactly what they did when they stripped the Lord Jesus. Friends, it's remarkable how the Lord Jesus fulfilled prophecy because he had chosen the time of when he was to lay down his life, because it was the time of God's choosing. And the Lord Jesus, as God, knew when his time had come. Friends, he laid his life down for you and for me. And now, what effect does that have for us? The Lord Jesus, who laid down his life and took it up again 3 days later, he did it so that you and I could have life ourselves. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of his fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. How do we know whether we are Christians? How do we know whether the Lord Jesus has died for me? They shall hear my voice. Have you heard the voice of the Lord Jesus? There's a voice that all of us can hear this morning. It's a voice calling us to repent, a voice calling us to give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the voice of the true shepherd, and that is the only voice that we should listen to. And having listened to it, we must obey it. And that voice is the voice of God's word, which you're hearing today. It's wonderful, isn't it, that the Lord Jesus has not come back yet. Why is that? Because he has other sheep, not of his fold. He was looking down the centuries to 2018. He no doubt saw Strangers Rest today, the 30th of September. I have sheep, not of this fold. I have sheep in Strangers Rest. And they shall hear my voice. Isn't it easy to think that maybe God has passed me by? Maybe he wasn't interested in me. But he is interested in you. He has caused you to be sitting here in this little church this morning, a tiny minority of the City of London, he's caused you to be here to hear his voice, the voice of his word. And they shall hear my voice. Friends, have you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd, of the Lord Jesus Christ? Look what he offers. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must follow him. There's no other voice for us to listen to, no other shepherd for us to follow, but the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. Are we going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? See, he's the only one who's going to lead us to pasture that's really going to feed our souls. It was the Lord Jesus who said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. He's the only one who can feed us, to look after us. And he's going to lead us in the paths of righteousness. See, another shepherd will lead us in the paths of unrighteousness, doing things that are displeasing in God's sight, that will bring the judgment of God upon us, who at the end of the world, at the end of our lives, will flee, because he's a false shepherd, he's a hireling, and he's led us to the gates of death only to desert us so we can go to our fate and have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and explain why we ignored his voice and followed another shepherd. Friends, but those who hear the voice of the Lord Jesus will follow him. And verse 28 has great reassurance and comfort for us, doesn't it? And I give unto them eternal life. This is what we need, isn't it? We need eternal life. And how did the Lord Jesus get us eternal life? By giving his life for the sheep, for paying the price of your sin and my sin on the cross. Those who've turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he paid the price of their sin, they have eternal life. It's wonderful to know that that's been given to us, isn't it? That the most important present that we can have in this world has been given to us. Our greatest goal achieved. There's no other goal worth pursuing, is there, than eternal life? Because you can have everything in this world, but as the Lord Jesus himself said, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit or lose his soul? What is the point of having the most wonderful, successful life, acclaimed by men, told what a great fellow you've been, what a great contribution you've made to this world, and yet go to your grave without eternal life? What a tragic waste. But to them who have heard the voice of the shepherd will be given eternal life. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Yes, you and I might go through the river of death, but we will come out the other side to be with the Lord Jesus forever. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Just as no man could take the Lord Jesus' life from him, so no man can separate you from God. You from the Lord Jesus Christ. Me from the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we have today the invitation to believe. The only people who won't believe are those who are not his sheep. And yet there's an invitation for all to believe. Think of the great commission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his disciples at the end of Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach all nations, all peoples, you and me included. Friends, have we got ears to hear today? Will we believe and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that God has not rolled up this world yet? Because the Lord Jesus has more sheep that the Lord has given him. His Father has given him. See, that's what we read, isn't it? As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And then at the end of verse 18, this commandment have I received of my Father. The Father has given the Lord Jesus Christ his sheep. Will we hear his voice today and follow him and be granted eternal life? That's the invitation, friends. May we take it, may we grasp it with both our hands. For this is all that life is worth living for. There's nothing else, friends. The Lord Jesus might say today of London, as he said of Ephesus through Paul, to Paul, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Well, the Lord has much people in this city. But the mark of whether or not we belong to that people is whether we will hear his voice today. Repent of our sins, believe upon him, and follow him the rest of the days of our life. That's the invitation, friends, and I urge you to accept it. Amen.